Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Ah. Aloha, Mr. Hyde.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. That is the tunage you're hearing from Max Power. We're starting a revolution, even if it's just Max and I. It's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here. It's perfect day for it as we're trying to inspire the sun to come see us again after however many days we've spent in the clouds and drizzle and all of these things.
At this point, it's so cold in my house, I don't even think I can wear a short sleeve shirt early in the morning.
TJ, do you know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella?
For a drizzle.
For drizzle. That's right. That's correct. It is chilly out there. Wear a coat if you're just waking up and listening to us and ready to head out the door. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on Facebook, YouTube X, and 12 News Connected. You can get in touch with us in any of those varieties. We'll have Shreya Slada in our KU Insider a little bit later in the show. Talk some KU football, some of the things happening there, some of the conversations happening among fans and players leaving and those things. And of course, we'll talk some KU hoops, which I know people are beginning to become excited about. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer that's made with actual pumpkin, served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. I've got a little note here that one goes away on November 1st. I don't know if that reed goes away or if that beer goes away, but get that one while it lasts, because once we turn the page from Halloween, you can kind of begin the countdown. And I know people don't like it, but the countdown to Christmas is on at that point. You get through Halloween.
When are you putting your decorations up? We'll dive into this hot topic.
Okay. So I don't have a problem at any point if people want to put them up at this stage in life, because I now have a real good understanding of how difficult it is to chisel out the time to do it. I have actually been in charge of a lot of that the last few years. So we'll take you through HTO, our family business away from this. And we give away some HTO probably here in this hour at some point. One of the busiest times of the year. Well, the busiest time of the year is Thanksgiving. And we always do a gallon promo. People go, that everybody comes and they get their gallons, and we appreciate that. But it is absolutely insane. So that takes up a lot of attention around there. Christmas is also busy at the stores, not quite as busy, but for the same reason. But that time around Thanksgiving, I think when a lot of people do that kind of stuff, is just insane. I also try to pick up all the shifts at KWCH because we're here, right? We're not traveling. We're not doing anything for Thanksgiving. Like right up until the day, like we're super busy at the stores, and then I can pick up. So like that stretch of that, probably 10 days leading up to Thanksgiving and then right after, I'm always working. So if I was to say I'm going to put those up like this weekend, that's why. Now I'm not going to do that, but So I don't have a problem with it. Like, I get it. It's a busy time of the year. Maybe people are traveling. Maybe they're doing whatever. And I've been put in charge of a lot of this because my wife gets so busy at the stores. I usually put it up on Thanksgiving or sometime in the day or two following Thanksgiving. That is typically when my decorations go up. They may have to go up sooner this year.
So we've always, even before the house and the apartment living and everything like that, we've done it. We're the people that it's going up November 1st, the day I'm after Halloween, Christmas. And I'm not saying it's convenience sake. I'm saying that it's Christmas time.
Look, it is a lot. It's an effort. It's a lot of work.
I think, okay. Let me change the question here. I think the bigger hot button issue is, when is the Christmas music start getting played?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that until after Thanksgiving. And that's growing up in a house where Kenny G's Christmas was going up, maybe even starting like mid-October. Every day we're walking around the house and mom's blaring Kenny G's Christmas. So I, you know, it's really all about what the kids want to do at this point. And of course they're fired up about Christmas. And for us, unfortunately, like, we don't get to make Thanksgiving a big deal. Like, it's not, because Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving, love it. But we don't have like the resources and energy now to properly make the big deal of it. Why I always say this time of year, when we're talking about Crestview Country Club sponsorship, like, I genuinely mean that. Most of the time we do something like that. Like, we'll bring it home and we'll have it, or we'll go up there, because we don't like, I'm telling you, like, up until the Wednesday night at like 9 PM, it is balls to the wall craziness at the stores we run, at the businesses we run. So we kind of wake up exhausted and like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. And then I go to work for the TV set. Like, that is Thanksgiving for us now. So, like, otherwise we'd make Thanksgiving a huge deal.
My biggest thing is that Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday, but it just happens to fall during Christmas season. So
that's
like,
fine. Yeah,
no, I've always been the big proponent of, like, you listen to the Christmas music on Thanksgiving. The Christmas tree is up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Probably better than Christmas, in my opinion.
Here's the other reason that, they're both great, because they're both great family holidays. That's why we love them, you know, especially the older you get. The other part about why it's acceptable to do all this is because it takes a lot of time to do it. And if you truly waited until after Thanksgiving to put up your Christmas stuff, you don't get it for very long. Because exactly. Then the next question becomes, when do you have to take it down? See, for me, that's the bigger, because by the new year, I kind of want it down. Right? Like, it's time, we're starting fresh. So like, you only get to have it like for maybe another week, feels in the acceptable range, before you got to bring it down. Like, you know, the fun and all of it has passed. The reason we celebrate that day and stuff, that's all passed. And like, now it's just kind of a tree in the middle of your living room taking up space. There's no more presents under it. There's none of that. So yeah, then it's got to come down. So if you wait until, if you truly wait till after Thanksgiving, what are you going to do? You get it for 4 weeks? All that time and effort and energy for 4 weeks? No. Nope. I'm fine putting it up. You put up right now. I don't care.
It's going up. It's almost starting Monday morning.
Like, I would say after Halloween. Yeah, you probably don't want to. You probably need to wait till after Halloween. But yeah, November 1, that's a good starting point. And I think ours is going to go up. It's going to have to this year, sometime in early November. Like, there's going to be a day, and maybe it's a, I don't know, even know what day of the week it would be now, because we're entering the kids' basketball season and everything, where it's like, oh, well, we have a minute here. All right, we're getting the tree. The other thing that I've started to do the last 2 years, I let the kids decorate the tree. Mm-hmm. And that's part, like, because it's fun and exciting and cute for them. And it's part because that means I don't have to do it. Like, I get it down and get the tree out, because we got the big tall one. So I got to get it out and get it down and get it fluffed up and get it there. And then it's like, all right, kids, have at it. But get after it. And then my wife usually swings in with the knick-knacky stuff that kind of just, as we get a few minutes, slowly gets put out. Do you guys, now that you have a house, you going to go Griswold on it? You're young. You're a little more unencumbered.
We already bought the Christmas lights, okay. And we've decided that we're like, are we just going to do like the front of the house? I'm like, every nook and cranny is getting lit on this thing.
My college roommate and I, probably after too many Keystone lights one time, went to Walmart and bought just a ton of inflatables. We didn't have any money. We just like emptied the bank accounts and bought inflatable Christmas stuff and just would litter our yard with the inflatable Christmas stuff every year. We Griswold. But now like I changed the garage lights to red and green bulbs. Like that's the outside deck. It's not lame. I love that stuff. I just like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? The other thing is, who's going to hang them? Because our roof is way too steep and I'm way too old and I don't feel like emptying the life savings out because I fell off the roof. So then I'd have to pay to get it done, and I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, we've invested in some ladders at the house.
I haven't seen your home. I've got one, and you've seen them around here. There's a lot of houses here with like
super tall.
Super tall and super steep. Like the roofs are, and I don't know why that is, because we're on one level. We don't have like a second story or anything. But man, those roofs are just insane. We had solar panels put on our house, and those guys were like, I'm like, hey guys, your job, not mine. Get after it. Yeah, I do love Christmas time, and I'm good with it. Max, you can play Christmas music anytime you want. Probably let's call it after Friday. Hang on, Max, because Max, I could see Max being a Scrooge too. I could see, I'm about 50-50 on whether Max is big on Christmas spirit or Mr. Scrooge. Max, do you start thinking about Christmas?
After Thanksgiving. They're already doing Christmas ads, and we haven't even had Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So we probably won't be getting Christmas.
Max is probably a big Halloween guy is the issue here.
Yeah, nice mask.
Are you dressing up this year, Max?
No. I'm old. It's you know, if you're still dressing up when you're old like me, there's something wrong.
Yeah, I tend to fall into that camp, too.
It's not even Halloween, and they're already having Christmas. Come on.
Well, I mean, listen, we're capitalist. We know why that is. Like, that shouldn't surprise anybody. That's not because of the seasonal spirit. That's because they're trying to get you to buy stuff. Anywho, put your Christmas tree up whenever the hell you want. Yeah, we'll come back. Let's look ahead. We've got KU talk coming with Shreya Slaughta. Let's look ahead a little bit to that K-State Texas Tech game when we return here on Sports Day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Arc Raiders. a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. We mentioned giving away some HTO. Let's do it. You can win a free cup of iced tea on us here at Sports Daily by texting the keyword tea to the short code 20357. More than 25 flavors to choose from. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that is the keyword T to the short code 20357. Good in East or West Wichita or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here. We'll cover K-State just a little bit here and maybe some of the other storylines around the sports world right now. There is a story out now. Terry Rozier, of course, involved in the big betting scandal. The IRS had a tax lien of more than $8 million on Rozier. So whatever that's for, like if you're going to do this kind of stuff, you probably need to pay your taxes to keep the IRS for sniffing around a little bit on you. Just continues to be a wild, wild story, TJ, as this this poker and betting and I honestly don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, it's nuts. And the biggest thing that's coming out about this now is the fact that now the NBA is kind of getting scrutinized about, like, this was an investigation back in 2023 and they kind of just swept it under the rug a little bit is what everybody's kind of reporting and saying. And so if that's the case, you know, it really brings into question about the integrity of the NBA and betting on the NBA, and it's going to open a can of worms if they don't get a handle on it.
It is. It is, and it's not, you know, it's not going to be it's not going to be good for them. I think they'll be fine, but they just, like, this can't, because we've had this, you know, you had the Porter. You've had a couple of situations, but guys are getting caught, right? And it's the Rozier thing goes way back, and it's almost like a continuation of that. So, and then the Billups thing was more about a poker game.
No.
So I don't know how much trouble there is. You don't ever want the attention, but none of this has me, I guess, feeling any differently. I think guys are going to try to abuse the system. I think there are a million reasons why that's going to happen. Where I keep falling in is, does it happen more often because you and I can bet a basketball game now without going to Vegas or finding an illegal bookie? And I genuinely, like, I don't know if I know I have a strong take on that.
I think so. I mean, I think it's the argument that we had last week whenever we talked about this stuff is that, you know, I don't think it's the fact that it's more easily accessible for the players to do, because I think it's more easily accessible for their cousin Mo to do, you know? And I think that that's like,
and they'll try talk, and funnel it through, but they could have done that already, right?
They could have done but that. It's easier. It's easier for like your random acquaintance that isn't, you know, a criminal going and finding bookies, you know what I mean? Like everybody had it, like everybody can find bookies and stuff like that whenever it was illegal, but it was like the taboo thing. Now it's like, hey, I just made this DraftKings account and I'm betting on basketball games 20 minutes later. And I think that just so many people, I mean, I would bet that over 50% of the country has some sort of sports gambling account on one of the mobile websites.
I think 50% is probably a little too high. But I get what you're saying. But again, does that access make it more likely for point shaving?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah, we'll find out. They obviously it certainly makes it more likely that guys will get caught.
I think it's more like, I think at the bottom line, call it what it is, if you want to call it point shaving and everything of that nature, I think it's easier for players to know the lines and they can do what they will with that information. But I bet that if you took a poll in 2025 compared to 2015, I bet that it's a exponential growth of players who know what the spread is every night.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not trying to be naive because I think I agree with you. I just, again, like, I don't know. A, I don't think there's any going back. So that's first and foremost. Like, I don't. We're not coming back.
They'll have to change something if they don't get a handle on it. But I don't think there's going back. Like, they're not going to take it
yet.
Away.
I mean, not yet. We got to see. You know, most of the time, what we've seen, like Jameson Williams, wasn't he betting on another sport, which was allowed, but he was doing it at a team facility, which is not allowed. Yeah. Like the little things like that, just like you can't obviously ever have the integrity questioned in this thing. And I don't know that I am yet. It's these player props in basketball, because it's just so commonplace right now for basketball players just take a night off or to leave a game with injury. You and I are in a fantasy basketball league, and I just laugh every day when I try to look at my lineup and 9 guys are listed as out. I'm like, how are you even supposed to, like, how is anybody split? Like, this is why I don't bet basketball, NBA. I don't know who's going to play every night. So unless I'm going to make a bet 3 minutes before tip off, like, I'm already not betting the NBA for that reason. I mean, I never bet NBA, ever. I don't know who's going to play in the games. I think that's a bigger problem for the league, is load management or whatever it's being called. Like, that's the challenge for basketball to me, because you don't know who's going to play every night. Like, I have no idea when I turn on a game if my favorite player's playing.
Nope. I agree. I mean, I don't know where that's a whole different can of worms, I feel like. And, but it does have a tie into to the sports betting side of it, and it raises a lot of questions. So, it's been a wild story, and it's making its rounds, and it's gonna,
the problem is we're having to talk about it. I mean,
it's going to keep getting more complex until something, like, I mean, something's happened, but until more information comes out, basically.
Yeah, it'll be hard to be bigger than this. All right, let's talk college football. We've got K-State hosting Texas Tech this weekend. It is the game I think everybody has their eye on in the Big 12 the most. And there are great matchups all around. Cincinnati, Utah is this weekend at Utah. Utah is a 9.5-point favorite over Cincinnati, TJ, as it, like, in, and that's not being cute with the betting conversation we just had. That just, like, those give us an indication, like, when we talk about K-State and their chances to do something here, that is there, right? If Utah is able to beat Cincinnati, that opens the door a little bit. Now, they'll need more help than that, right? They'll need a little bit more help than that. But K-State plays Utah, so you don't mind a Utah win there. This is an interesting time. K-State only has 2 losses in the Big 12. Yep. They can win a tiebreaker against Utah head-to-head. They can win a tiebreaker against Texas Tech head-to-head. They need Cincinnati to lose, and they would then – need Cincinnati to lose again to BYU. And then I don't know what the tiebreaker is between K-State and Cincinnati. I have no idea.
I have no idea either, actually.
But the door is open, right? Like it's cracked open.
Yeah.
And they got to win all their games and all of these things. But it is funny for all of this that there is some degree of control here for K-State.
Yeah. Fact of the matter is, though, is that, you know, this could be a story for 3 days. And then if you lose to Texas Tech and then it's like, oh, it's over. Like it's not over, but it's over. Like the scenarios that you would need at that point are, you know, meteors hitting the earth type situations of teams losing and everything that happening. So you have to beat Texas Tech. And I think that that's the only conversation to really have right now is obviously it's there. And I think that that's the conversation that we've had is that it's possible and it's feasible to do. It's not in their control, though. They control what they can control, but they can't control their own destiny if they want to get to Arlington. The only thing they can control is trying to beat Texas Tech, and that's coach speak. But at the end of the day, if you don't beat Texas Tech, it's over.
Could you imagine if K-State wins the rest of their games and then they don't get in? Which is also possible. I'm with you. The chances of it are just wildly, wildly unlikely. But they still exist, and I only keep bringing that up because we're looking for ways in college football to stay motivated through. It's always been my problem with college football. It's better now with a 12-team playoff, but it's always been my problem is too often too many teams are eliminated, and that sucks, man. It's why it's honestly, as I've grown older, why I've gravitated further. Cause when I was a kid, man, like it was all college. I could not get enough college football. But then as you get older and you start covering these teams, you're like, man, their season's over. We're not even to Halloween yet. And like the season's over in terms of having the opportunity to do something in the postseason. Yep. Like bowl games that's fine. Like they've never done it for me, but expanding this playoff is helping. And if it's 16, it'll help even more in that regard. But that's so when we get this small opportunity, which we have now to say, you know, the door's still open for K-State, I'm going to slam through that door and say, hey, everybody, look, K-State still has it because it makes it more fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing the same thing, too. Look, I don't think this is us just trying to play cheerleader for K-State. Like, the season was over, and now it's not over. Like, there's something there. Like, it's a story. Like, and K-State knows it, too, and they understand. Like, if they beat Texas Tech, like, there'll be legit buzz across the Big 12, you know, nationwide attention about, like, hey, like, whoa, especially if Utah beats Cincinnati. If Utah beats Cincinnati this weekend and K-State beats Texas Tech,
here we go.
That is, I would sprinkle money on K-State getting the Big 12 championship. Like, that is two major events happening.
Well, listen, if you're going to sprinkle money on K-State getting to the Big 12 championship, you do it right now.
Yeah.
You don't do it after the fact because I don't even know what those odds are, but like that's where you do that. But again, like the problem with these are two different conversations. We're having them because they're relevant. The chances of it happening are so low, not because you need so many things to happen, TJ, as much as you need K-State to play that brand of football every game the rest of the way. And that's where the real challenge comes. This isn't a team we've seen do that this year. They have not consistently enough played that brand of football. I'll tell you this, though. What if that Baylor outcome is the other way, right? What if you don't have the bad interception late and all of those things, and they're now riding a four-game winning streak going into this? Then we are having that conversation more legitimately because they just beat Kansas big time. They beat TCU big time. They would have had wins, you know, two of them on the road where we're coming into this. And that is the conversation Texas Tech is having. Yep. Texas Tech's having that conversation. Like, hey, guys, do not be fooled by this team having three losses. A, they should only have two. And B, they're finally playing the kind of football we thought they'd be playing when this season started. That's a conversation in Lubbock right now. Mm-hmm. I know it is because I talk to people down there. They've been worried about this game for a while. Now they're really worried about it because K-State appears to be kind of back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's Texas Tech is kind of in, you know, the opposite boat, but the same as K-State is that if they lose this game, like their chances at Arlington, like they just lost Arizona State a couple weeks ago. Like if they lose this game, it's like, whoa, shoot.
And like, that's not good. That's not a good thing for K-State either. And their chances because Texas Tech knows they don't have wiggle room. They get their starting quarterback back. That's the thing about Tech. Like Tech is you got to remember what Tech was before that loss, because they didn't have their quarterback, and Hammond has had to play significant snaps. But
so who's playing? Who's going to play on Saturday?
Morton, the original starter, is back. He is back. Yes, and he is significantly better. Yes. And then you start to think about, okay, this was a top 10 offense. This was a top 10 defense. We saw against Kansas when they need to, they can run the ball a little bit. But the difference between Morton and Hammond, who I believe was a true freshman, like, is significant. Like night and day different. So that's where you look at it, and that's where it becomes a real trouble spot, is now you're getting the best of Tech, right? You're getting this all-world defense with their starting quarterback, who gives them a much better passing attack, and now you got to get after it. K-State, we're going to say the same thing. They've got to run the ball, and they're not going to have, you know, Dylan Edwards. So Joe Jackson's been good, though. It's unfair to Joe Jackson that all the attention continues to stay with Dylan Edwards, because Dylan Edwards is such a playmaker, and we know that. Joe Jackson's, he's kind of on a little mini heater. Like, he has really developed into a good runner the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, he was young, and I think that that's something as well, is that he hadn't really had game experience except for, you know, taking a few snaps a game and taking a couple handoffs. But he's gotten a big workload, and he's played well since we've seen Dylan, you know, basically not be available to play. And so it's going to take a lot to get it done against Texas Tech. I think that it's going to have to be a huge Avery game if they want to have something done. They're going to have to throw the crap out of it, I'd imagine. And I imagine this game screams like it's going over.
Tech is a wagon defensively, and running on them. Defensively though, they're the best run defense in football. TJ, they're not just a good run defense; they have the best run defense in college football. Yep. Jacob Rodriguez, in my opinion, is the best defensive player in the country, and he was close last year, and now they brought in some beef on the line through all that NIL money that they've been spending. So I agree with you. It's got to be Avery. Now, what I don't totally like, I don't know that it's Avery throwing the crap out of the ball, but it's Avery making a crap load of plays.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to hand the ball off.
If they're going to run it, he's going to have to be a part of it, and it's going to be difficult. The reason I think this is such a challenge for K-State is Texas Tech, probably, I would make Avery throw the ball. Yeah. And then you're just trying to make plays against him. You're trying to make him one-dimensional, and then I think you become this opportunistic defense. Just at its base, they stop the run so well. That's the challenge against them. And they have a good pass defense too, by the way. They're top 40, I think, against the pass. But you got to do that. And then if you're K-State on the other side, now that you know that quarterback is back in there, you better be ready to stop the pass. Because this is a high level, you know, Texas Tech passing attack too.
Yeah,
A great job against Kansas. I mean, that gives you hope. Look at seeing that pass defense play that well. That gives you the hope, I think, as much as anything else.
Yeah, I think that I think back to the KU game. Like, obviously, I've watched sparingly Texas Tech because they're a Big 12 team, and I like to watch the Big 12. But the most I've watched them was against KU, and I mean, obviously, KU, you know, got obliterated in that game, but for the 15 minutes they looked good. They threw it on them. Like, they didn't get those points by running around. Like, it's possible to do. Like, I'll have to watch the Arizona State game and see how they handled it and everything like that. But like that, to my mind, it has to be a big passing game for Avery. The defense, like, you're not going to really slow down. Like, I think you slow down Texas Tech less on offense than you worry about them slowing you down on offense. Like, their defense is great, but like, their offense could come in and score 35 like it's nothing.
I'm the opposite. I think K-State's biggest concern has to be offensively trying to score on their defense. How many games early in the season when K-State was not playing well, it's because it felt like they couldn't score, right? It's because the offense sputtered out. They lost that game inexplicably to a service academy team because their offense was never on the field. They couldn't get anything going on offense. That's what I worry about, is that they're just going to get smothered and not be able to move the ball. And then all of a sudden we'll look up and it's like 17-0, and it will feel like they just can't do anything. That's what I'm worried about. If they, you know, I, I don't, I'm not as worried about the Texas Tech offense as I'm worried about the Texas Tech defense. So I think I'm on the opposite side of that as you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I go back and forth. Like, I don't know if I want to, like, phrase it that I'm not, like I am worried about the defense. But I think that, like, if, I mean, the best way to describe this is I feel like I'm just chalking up the Texas Tech is going to score 30-plus on Saturday.
Yeah, my I need to know K-State's going to get to 20.
That's what I think we're in the same boat on this. But okay. It's because of the Tech offense that I'm worried about.
Yeah, maybe so.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Chris Lotta in joining us, our KU Insider. We've got KU basketball and football to talk about. No Darren Peterson last night. Cramps. We'll get to that, Trius. But first, let's talk a little football here. And I don't know. We don't need to talk about the Sunflower Showdown. KU got their tails kicked. What I want to ask you about is, are you surprised at the chatter? And maybe we should never be surprised at this chatter in college football, but people questioning Lance Leipold at this point, to just my personal opinion, that's insanity from where the program was, but it's out there. I can't imagine that any of us feel like the administration there doesn't have the utmost confidence in Lance Leipold.
Yeah, I think the idea of like letting go of Lance Leipold or something like that, utterly ridiculous. I think, you have to just let him play out the season, figure it out what happens. I mean, I think the way it ends this season is going to probably determine kind of if the seat is hot or not, in the sense. But the questions are, I think, valid to ask. When is Kansas going to win a rivalry game? When is it going to be, is it going to be in the Lance Leipold tenure or not? Because, I mean, they just looked flat out unprepared and they got embarrassed on Saturday. I'm a third party observer. I'm just a guy who covers the team. I was like, I didn't expect that. And I can only imagine how bad it was for Jayhawk fans to watch, the first 5 minutes where they get the return, the fumble touchdown or whatever. I mean, the fumble return and lead it to touchdown. And then after that, it was all Kansas State. I really didn't expect that. I talked to some friends who are Kansas State fans. They were surprised by that. I think it's a very fair question to ask yourself, what does this program need to do to win a rivalry game?
Trace, the thing that we've been talking about all week since Sunflower Showdown is the fact of, more so I'd say because of the Brian Kelly firing and coaches getting fired, that brings up this conversation of, like, is there unrealistic expectations around KU football right now? What are they? Like, were they ever going to be a team that we thought that was going to be a dark horse contender? Or is this a letdown season? Is this a good season? Like, I feel like we've been skewed all year.
Well, I think going into the season, everyone saw them as a 6-win, 7-win team, right? So they're still on the pace for that, theoretically. I think the issue became, or not really an issue, but it kind of a good thing. Jalen Daniels had a season where you dare to dream a little bigger, is what I'd say, right? Up to the K-State game, Jalen Daniels was playing like a top 5, top 10 quarterback in college football, right? He had no bad games. K-State game aside, his numbers are still really, really good. Obviously, that game did not help it. But I think the perception of what they could be got skewed a little bit by early season wins against Fresno State, the way they looked against Wagner, the way they looked against West Virginia. Everyone knew there was going to be legitimate question marks against this thing. But even like the Missouri game, if you're a Kansas fan, like, you come away a little bit, okay, there's some good things there. You're up 21-6. Yeah, you lost the game, but that was your first game in Columbia in like 10 years. Like, and you play – you give yourself a chance to win. And they were within, a touchdown or less all game at that point, outside of when they led, of course. But I think perception has been skewed by some early season results / Jalen Daniels' play. And it led to a belief that this team was better than it was. And, I mean, hand up, I thought they are better than they were against K-State, I can tell you that much.
It's hard. There were games in there where we looked kind of in the aftermath and we're like, man, they got outgained by a ton in that. Was that deceptive? Maybe it was. They got a chance to bounce back. Plenty of chances to win big games down the stretch here. What do you make then in the fallout? Is J.J. Dunnigan's decision fallout from the K-State game or not? I think that's really all that matters. Is that a reaction to that from what you're hearing, or is it just a college football thing now?
I think it's just a college football thing. I don't think the game helped, though, right? Like, this guy supposedly went to the game. They got their butt whooped. He's the guy who's the prize recruit of the 26 class. I like to think that there was conversations had after that game, but I have a belief just based on the schools that have offered him scholarship this fall, there was probably some wavering quality there. You know, I mean, like, no disrespect to Kansas or K-State, but, you know, there's some really good schools who JJ has been offered this fall. Miami, Georgia Tech, you know, who looks really good this year, as I say, as a Georgia fan. But it's just a mix of it's college football and these guys want more money, and it certainly didn't help that Kansas looked horrible against K-State.
Yeah. Shreyas, we'll switch it over to basketball here. We'll get back to football previewing the rest of the year, I imagine, later on in this segment. We'll talk about basketball. Last night, you got your first look at the Fort Hays State Tigers, most importantly. I'm not sure what their outlook is in the MIAA conference this year. But no Darren Peterson yesterday. Some cramps going on, it sounded like. Was that a precautionary thing since this game doesn't count? What'd you hear about that?
Yeah, I mean, Self said it was kind of like a mix between like cramps and a little bit of a stomach bug. He hasn't been feeling well since the second half against Louisville. I think he'll be fine. I do think it's something to monitor, though. I've noticed some of the stars in college basketball. I know Pablo Benjero dealt with cramps as well in his college career to start off. And I know there's a couple Kansas guys over the years, not in my tenure on the beat, but who have dealt with cramps and stuff like that. But I do think it's kind of an interesting subplot, right? Like, there's some level of like, well, these other guys have to be good because you can't rely on Darren Peterson to play 15 minutes and give you 24 points, because it does seem like that is kind of an exhausting point of return right now for the freshman. I expect he'll be fine, but I do think it's really interesting that, you know, he cramped in his first real like game with Kansas. But it's all getting into game shape and game flow and all that.
It's part of the reason, probably, Shreyas, we need to be very careful with how much expectation we put on him specifically. We did get a look, I think, at the starting five, though. Trey White, Flory Badunga, Melvin Council Jr., and Cole Rosario look like it. El Marco Jackson was the guy who got the nod in Darren Peterson's place. It looks like Coach Self is looking to run maybe like a, I don't know, 8-man rotation-ish, maybe stretches that out a little bit. But if we go back to the Louisville game to give us a better indication, it kind of looks like 8. Is that what you're anticipating?
Yeah, probably 8. You know, Bill likes to say he'll run 8, 9, 10, whatever. The reality is when March rolls around, it's 7, maybe 8. I think the way this team is structured, there should be some contributors, I think, that will kind of rise up. But there are a lot of question marks, and Bill said it best. He went into the exhibition not knowing what to expect from this team the most out of any team he's coached. And I'm kind of right there with him. You know, like, I really have no idea how good this team is outside of how good Derek Peterson is. I like to think the ceiling is higher than last year, but I think there are some small issues that keep on popping up that give me question marks. And I feel like I keep talking about it, but the shooting is the issue outside of Derek Peterson for me right now.
We're going stir crazy how much we've talked about shooting woes, I feel like. You know, I agree, though. We don't know how good this team is going to be, and I feel like the only thing that we have is the evidence that we've gotten so far, which is two games that don't count. I didn't get to watch much of the Louisville game last week. We were dealing with high school football around here, but obviously what Darren Peterson did in that raised a bunch of eyebrows. They played that like it was a normal game. They didn't do hockey substitutions. They tried to win that game, and they did. Both teams did, I imagine, right?
No, 100%. I mean, I think Louisville had some full-court press in that second half, so I guess it was a little different there. But, you know, Bill Self talked about it, how he's impressed with how his team kind of handled that against a top 12 team in the country in Louisville. And I think, you know, I give Kansas major props. See, they look like a much better team in that game with how many question marks they had going in. I think that's pretty impressive. And especially to do it in the road arena, you know, with road fans, et cetera. Like, that's stuff that you want to see. I think I was pretty impressed with how they played the second half without Darren Peterson. I mean, he only played 10 minutes in the second half, and Kansas managed to still blow him out. But there was, you know, still some question marks there. But I felt good about Kansas, better about Kansas after the Louisville game than I did about yesterday's game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number 11 team in the country.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about Flory Badunga? I something that I just told myself that I'm going to watch early is how much of a presence he is offensively. We know he's going to be a defensive presence. He's taken 9 and 7 shots. That surprised me a little bit to see him that involved early on as an offensive weapon. And I think it's got to be a good sign, because if they can't shoot, they will need him to be an option down there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he looked good against Louisville outside of getting fouled out, of course. He did not look good against Fort Hays State. That happens. I don't really, you know, worry too much about a guy who 80% of his shot diet or 90% of his shot diet is just dunking the heck out of the ball. You know, you're not going to go 0-6 too many times. The one slight concern is I feel like I haven't seen a lot of his bag shown, I guess, on the offensive end. If he has an offensive bag, like, where has he grown in that sense? I know he's been working on his jump shot since before he arrived at campus last year. Well, why haven't we seen it, like, pulled out, like, once? Like, just one time. Like, I want to see if this jump shot is real or not. I think he's going to be really important. You know, I think if Kansas is going to have a successful season, you want a guy like Flory averaging a double-double at the very least. And I expect him to average double-double. I think he will. I think people are freaking out a little bit by the sample size just based on Twitter and stuff like that, their response. But I'm not really worried. It's so early. You know, guys are figuring things out, going through the different spells and lulls and stuff like that. So he's probably going to be a guy that, if he can average a double-double, it'll make everything much easier for Kansas basketball.
Shreyas, I'll circle us back. Let's talk one more football thing real quick before we have to go. Oklahoma State this weekend, it feels like this is the one that you use to get right, right the ship a little bit. Just kind of where are you at with this football program going the rest of the way?
Well, yeah, I think they should beat Oklahoma State pretty easily. I don't know if they cover a 23-point spread. Maybe they do. I don't know. It's hard to say with the spread stuff. But I think they're going to probably make a bowl game. I just don't see them losing 3 straight after this game. I think the question is how good the bowl game is going to be is a big question mark, because, like, theoretically they should be able to win 2 out of 3 in the end. Like, I think they can beat Utah. I think they can beat Iowa State. Not Utah, sorry, Arizona and Iowa State. But tough, you know, road game in Arizona. That's always a question mark. You know, Utah's tough and all that, but I don't know. I feel like they'll make a bowl game. I just don't know how good the bowl game will be.
Okay. Shreyas, we appreciate it. Follow all along with Shreyas Lotta at SHRE98 on X. Follow him at the KC Star with all the coverage on KU Hoops and KU Football. We're playing basketball by the time we talk next week, Shreyas. Real, actual basketball. We'll have one in the books, and we'll be looking ahead to North Carolina.
100% excited. Thanks, guys.
All right, there goes Shreyas Lotta. All right, that does it for a Wednesday. Thanks to Shreyas Lotta. A lot of good stuff there. Go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. KU basketball will be fascinating, you know, in totally different ways than K-State is interesting early in the season, I think. So there'll be a great watch. All of it. Shockers, K-State, Wichita State, KU. Like, it all starts next week, if you can believe it. We're there. Like, we are there. We get through this weekend of football, and we've got college basketball on the slate. I know you're ready for it. I think I'm ready for it.
I am ready for it. I'm ready for Shocker Hoops as well. Next week's going to be a bunch of fun. That's like the first official start of crossover season. So it's going to be a busy time in our lives, but it's going to have a lot of stuff to talk about on the show. We're probably going to have to get into the 15-minute Christmas talk segments whenever we get next week.
Yeah, well, no, we always find a way to talk about that kind of stuff. Tim Fitzgerald will join us on the K-State beat tomorrow. We'll also have our betting insider, PJ Glasser, getting us ready for Thursday Night Football and the full weekend. It's jam-packed. Stick with us, everybody. For TJ, for Max, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.